one.
Here we go. We're on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. We're on the final question on the Braisa. Rav Yishmol, remember, is trying to find the source to know the law. Maaser Sheni, can we eat it nowadays if we take it to Yerushalayim or not? That was his question. He was trying to prove it from Bechor. Couldn't do that. He was trying to prove it from Bikurim. Couldn't do that. And couldn't even learn it from the two of them together. Couldn't do that from the common denominator. He had to come on to a pasuk, and that was the conclusion on the pasuk. So Gemara now again, just to refresh our memories that we said, he says, well, what was his understanding about the holiness of Yerushalayim, of the Beis Hamikdash? Is it sanctified forever or not? Remember, and this, okay, and this, so what he's going to say, so why do you see a doubt by Maaser Sheni, and there's no doubt by Bechor, as will now be elaborated on as we continue. So Gemara is really saying, doesn't understand the whole Braisa. Why do you assume as the given that Bechor you don't do when there's no Beis Hamikdash to bring in the Mizbeach? While Maaser Sheni, we weren't sure, and then we tried to prove it from Bechor. He doesn't even understand how the setup is to begin with. Because Umay Kesavar, what did Rabbi Yishmol personally hold regarding this sanctity of the temple area? So let's look at it. Either way, it's a problem. Ikesavar, if he held Kedusha Rishona, the initial sanctity of the temple site, when it was sanctified the first time, Kitcha L'Shaita was sanctified for its time, V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, and forever it was sanctified, so the temple mount is always holy, the place where the Beis Hamikdash stood was always holy. So now what would the question be? Well, the question would be, regarding Maaser Sheni, is the enduring sanctity of the temple site sufficient? In other words, we don't have a temple. The temple is destroyed, but the site was made holy. Mm-hmm. So is that enough? The fact that there's Kedusha there without a Beis Hamikdash, does that fulfill the pasuk that says you bring Maaser Sheni in the presence of Hashem? When you have a Beis Hamikdash, you for sure have the presence of Hashem. If you don't have a Beis Hamikdash, then the only way it's possible to say is before Hashem. Possible is we say that the site was permanently sanctified. But it's still, you know, a little bit of a stretch. That's the question. Is that called still in front of Hashem just the fact that the real estate is holy, but you don't have the building? Yeah. Okay, that's the question. Or, right, so have you fulfilled the prerequisite to say it's before Hashem, and Maaser Sheni has to be brought before Hashem? Or maybe the city wall must also be standing in order for Jerusalem. Remember, Maaser Sheni is not a law of the Beis Hamikdash. It's a law of Yerushalayim. It has to be, it's a little bit different than Bechor and Bikurim. Okay, so here it has to eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay, so Yerushalayim was made holy. Okay, Yerushalayim was made holy. But there's no walls over there. So you really can't tell that there's a city over there. So maybe you need the wall to be standing for Jerusalem to still be called in the presence of Hashem. Only when it's enclosed and encloses this temple area. So that was your question. You know, is the fact... So that's the one hand. So is it like this, that he's assuming that the Temple Mount is always holy? And now the question is, can I bring Maaser Sheni? Will it fulfill the requirement of before Hashem, even though there's no wall, and it doesn't look like Yerushalayim, but the holiness is there? Is that enough, or is it not enough? That would be the question. Eh? But if that's the way you're saying on that side... So let's go back. But at the same time, he's assuming, but Bechor, for sure not.
No.
So the question is, why Bechor, for sure not? It should be the same question. Afilu Bechor Nami. He should have the same doubt by Bechor. Remember, when he's going through this piece, well, Bechor we know for sure not. Here, by Maaser Sheni, we're not sure. Well, why are you not sure by Maaser Sheni? Because I don't know if the sanctified status is enough to consider before Hashem, even though there's no temple walls. So why are we saying, but for sure, we wanted to learn from Bechor, which is for sure not. Why is Bechor for sure not? Right? Why does he assume that it can't? Why does he assume that it cannot be a Bechor in Yerushalayim nowadays? Now, how do we know? So Gemara elsewhere. Hang on. The Gemara says elsewhere that according to the view, I know, now you got this long, see this footnote has to fill in the gap. There's a gap here. You're right. Shel is saying, what are you talking about? There's no Mizbeach. Finished. Right? Gemara states elsewhere that according to the view that the sanctity of the temple site is enduring, the temple edifice need not be standing in order for sacrifices to be offered at that site and eaten in Yerushalayim.
Does not.
Does not. Once it's holy, then you don't actually need the temple edifice. Because what's a mizbeach? You put a bunch of rocks together and you have an altar. Well, you know, but before we had a temple, what did Avram do in this week's parsha?
Right.
He took a bunch of rocks together, made a little altar, and slaughtered the animal.
Yeah.
Now, and Jews were always allowed to do that until the temple was built. Mm-hmm. Once the temple's built, well, we got a temple. What are you going to build the old altar for? But what if the temple's not? Destroyed.
Go ahead and build a temple.
So you still got the sanctity of Yerushalayim, you got the sanctity of Yerushalayim. So you'll just go bring a korban right over there, right? Thus, even nowadays, an altar could theoretically be built there, and the bechor offered, and the meat of the bechor would then be fit for consumption in Yerushalayim. Okay, then he says there's technical issues, you know, but forget about the technical issues. So now he's saying so afil bechor nami. So why did we assume that the Bechor not, right? Why did he assume? He started off the whole discussion. Well, we know for sure you can't bring a Bechor and you can't eat a Bechor. Just given. Question is, do we learn Meiser Sheni from it? Because we're not sure. So understand, just like you're not sure about Bechor, Meiser Sheni should also not be sure about Bechor. How is it so definite of that, right? Now, let's say, well, maybe it's the other. That's assuming if the temple site was forever holy. Yeah. Let's go the other. So it's a problem. The whole beginning of the question is a problem. Why do you assume Bechor for sure not? And my saying we're not sure. We're trying to learn from Bechor. The whole assumption to begin with doesn't make sense. So let's say, okay, no, let's maybe flip it around. Maybe he holds that the Kedusha is not enduring. There's two ways to look at it. Maybe they only sanctified for its time. But it's not enduring. Well, let's look at it that way. E kasover kedusha rishona kacha l'shaito. If you want to say maybe he holds that the initial holiness was there for its time, v'lo kacha l'asid level, but it wasn't in the future. Okay, if that's the case, what's the shaila then? So Shaul's question would then be whether, since Meiser Sheni does not require any temple service, the status of Yerushalayim as being in the presence of Hashem with respect to Meiser Sheni continues even though the sanctity of the temple site has been suspended. Okay, so he wants to say it's still the presence of Hashem, even if it's not. You know, it's a little bit of a stretch. What's the question then? But he's saying, well, no, it still would be considered Lifnei Hashem. All right? Because since it doesn't need any temple service. That's a little bit different. It doesn't need temple service. So it could say, well, if I don't need temple service, then maybe it could still be considered presence of Hashem. A little bit of a stretch, but that's what he's saying. So if you want to say that, then the same thing, afilu bechor nami tiboy. So you should also have a question regarding a bechor. Should also be the same question. And why are you assuming as for sure it's not? That is, instead of inquiring only whether Meiser Sheni may eat in Yerushalayim nowadays, Rishon should also have inquired regarding the analogous case of a Bechor offering, a Bechor that no longer requires any temple service. You're going to ask, what are you talking about? What are you talking about doesn't require temple service? Of course it needs. Now you're going to put another little thing to slip in over here. Whether it may be eaten. Now, how could it be that Bechor doesn't need temple? You have to bring a korban. The case would have, and you have to sprinkle the blood. The case, now this is a real stretch. This is a real stretch. This case would involve a Bechor that was offered just prior to the temple's destruction and whose meat remained after the destruction. Reb Shmuel ought to have inquired whether a kohen at that time was permitted to eat its meat in Jerusalem. On what basis did he assume that the meat of the Bechor could not be eaten, and then rely on this as a source for the Hekesh, the comparison, in teaching that Maaseh Sheni may also not be eaten? Right? In other words, if the sanctity of the temple site has been suspended, Rabbi Shmuel could only have referred to the case just described, since the inherent restriction against eating of a Bechor would not apply in any other situation. Right? So why were they so sure that Bechor not? So what's going on? So we don't understand the whole question. It should go either way. It should be, you know, the two should be the same. Basically, why are you saying Bechor for sure not? And Maaseh Sheni, we're not sure. Either they both should for sure not, or they should both for sure be a question. So what's, how are we going to understand it? So Amar Ravina, Ravina's going to say it like this. Le'olam kesavar kachal shaitav lo kachal lasid lavo. Really, you could say he always holds the initial sanctity does not remain forever. Okay. And now what's the case over here? V'hacha. And here we're speaking about a Bechor. Now he said, well, a Bechor, wait a minute. What if he sacrificed the whole thing and sprinkled the blood into the whole thing? It should be the same issue. So he's going to tweak it even more. V'hacha. Here we're speaking, the Bechor, shenizrak damo kodam churbas abayis, where the blood was sprinkled before the Beis Hamikdash drive. V'charav habayis, and the temple has been destroyed. But besara kaim, but the meat was not yet consumed. Now that was the case we already mentioned before, but he's going to add a new point. He's going to add a new point to fix this up. He's saying this scenario was already implicit in Gemara's question. We already asked that question. But it's fine with the Gemara when answer a question to explicate a previous assumption whose validity accepted. So that's not anything new. The assumption, the question was, that's the only way to work. Yeah. So then why is it for sure not? I'll tell you why it's for sure not. A new knach. Why is for sure not? Because there's another hekesh over here. And what is that? Umakshinan besara ladamo. And we compare the meat of the animal to eat to the sprinkling of the blood. How is that? Let's take a look at the two psukim where it talks about a bechor and bringing the animal. It says like this, but the firstborn, their blood shall you apply to the altar. And then right away it says, and their meat shall be to you that you can eat. So putting the two concepts, one right after the other, that's called a hekesh. That's a comparison. So what's it saying? It's saying, number one, the blood shall be sprinkled on the altar, and the meat shall be to you. So the fact that they're putting it together means there's some connection between the two of them. What's going to be the connection? The connection is ma domo b'mizbeach, just like the spring of the blood, you have to have a mizbeach. And although we assumed, but once it's destroyed, you could still eat the meat. No, that the hekesh is saying af besara b'mizbeach, so to the flesh eating needs the mizbeach to exist at all. In the question, we assume so. Basically, it's destroyed. Fine. So now just go eat the meat anyway because the kedusha is still there. Right? That you should have had a question. Why for sure not? Saying, no. We have a special hekesh. We're saying, just like the sprinkling, it says, has to be on the mizbeach. And the very next clause says, you'll eat the meat. You can only eat the meat when there's the mizbeach. So that's the hekesh teaches, that the meat may be eaten only at a time when the blood service is possible, but not when the altar is destroyed. So this is an inherent restriction against consumption of the meat, even when technical considerations would allow it. Because there's a new consideration. You have to have the mizbeach, just like by the sprinkling. So even if it's a case where you sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, and then the base of Mikdash was destroyed, and you say, well, still, there's still some kedusha to the Temple Mount area, right? But no, there's a separate problem. There's a hekesh, the eating of the meat to the sprinkling of the blood. Since there's a hekesh for that, that's why the Gemara assumed for sure you can't bring the bechor. You can't eat it. Now the question is, could we learn Maaseh Sheni from the Bechor? Because Maaseh Sheni doesn't have this issue of they have to have the Mizbeach, and you have to sprinkle on the Mizbeach, and eat the Mizbeach. All I need is Yerushalayim. So even if there's no sanctity, but the fact is it will still be considered before Hashem or not. That was the issue. That
compared it.
That was the Shiloh. So now they want to say, well, maybe we could compare it to Bechor. To which the Gemara said, no, Bechor is different, it needs Mizbech. The Gemara says, still not happy with this answer, because how could it still have assumed to do this? And here's an... and then it went, I'm sorry. And now the Gemara finishes off, Umakish Maiser Lehema. Then the Gemara thought we could compare Maiser Sheni to a Bechor. That's the how the we extended the discussion. All right? They'll lose. Okay, fine. That's like Rashi. That's good enough. So in other words, that was the Gemara Shaila. Again, the Shaila is, by a Bechor, that even though he may have brought the animal and sprinkled the blood when there was a base of Migdash and the temple was existed, and then the temple was destroyed, he cannot eat the meat. Why? Because there's a hekesh, there's a comparison of sprinkling to eating. For sure not. Then the question is, well, what about a Maiser Sheni? Yeah. Could we do that? There's reason to suggest maybe yes, maybe no. No, we're going to compare eating of the Maiser Sheni to the eating of the Bechor. So like the Bechor can't be eaten, Maiser Sheni can't be eaten. That's what the Gemara is asking. Let's maybe do that. To which now that we've said this, we now brought ourselves into a new problem why we can't ask this question. Not quite finished. So what's the Gemara saying? So here's an interesting rule. By Kochim, is that when you make a Hekesh A to B, okay, you cannot now take B and compare C to B. By Kochim, there's a rule by Kochim. If I know B from A, a Hekesh, I can't learn C from B of a Hekesh. It's just a rule in Kochim. Once I've learned this, because I guess it's not strong enough, if I didn't know this at all, but I know this by comparing this, B to A. Now, what do we have? We have the sprinkling of the blood is A. Eating the meat is B. How do I know I can't eat the meat? Because I compared. I made a Hekesh B to A. Fine. Now what I want to do, I got B over here. I got C, which is Maiser Sheni. Can I do that? No, we're going to compare C to B. That's very good. But in the world of Kachim, you're not allowed to do that. We're going to see in a minute. You can't do that. Once you make one Hekesh, that's as far as it goes. So that's what we're saying. So again, they don't understand what the question is. Why do you want to, even to begin with, to compare Maiser Sheni to Bechor? The whole reason you can't eat the meat of the Bechor is because of a Hekesh. So how are you going to extend another Hekesh? It goes against the rule. And that's what the Gemara is going to ask. V'chidover halame Hekesh. Something that was learned from a Hekesh. Choser malamed Hekesh. Going to go and teach with a Hekesh? Right? There's a principle in regard to sacrificial laws only. That a rule which itself is derived through a Hekesh cannot be further extended through another Hekesh. Thus, in the present case, since the law that the meat of a Bechor offering cannot be eaten in the absence of the temple is itself derived through a Hekesh to the offerings of the blood, we should not be able to extend that to Maiser Sheni, which is compared to the meat of the Bechor offering. Good question, yeah? Then the Gemara is going to suggest an answer. He says, wait a minute, we said this whole rule by Kochim, yeah? The rule's by Kochim. Okay. Spring of the blood is kachim. Eating the meat of the animal is kachim. But Maiser Sheni is not kachim. So what's your problem? That's not going to answer the question. The Gemara says, Maiser Dagon, the second, the Maiser Sheni on grain, hulin ho, is non-sacrificial. The Maiser Sheni is non-sacrificial. Therefore, a two-stage hekesh is allowed, because the rule disallowing such derivations applies only to sacrificial laws. Right? So although the first part is sacrifice to sacrifice, but the second part is chulin. So we only said the rule in the world of kachim, not the rule of chulin. So we're still allowed to ask the question. Maybe we should compare Maiser Sheni to Bechor. Well, guess what? Even this point is a point of debate. Yeah. Almost done, guys. Another three lines, and we're out of the woods. So Gemara says, well, wait a minute. That whole question is, Hanicha, that's all a good question. Landomer, Basar, Lamad, Azlinan. That's good if you say we go after the teacher, after one that's being learnt. Okay, now, it's very interesting. This is satisfactory, according to the one who says that in determining whether a two-stage heck is one of sacrificial law, we follow the subject that learns its law through the second Hekesh. If that matter is non-sacrificial, then the issue is not considered a case of sacrificial law, even if the first Hekesh made between the two. In other words, when we say you can't make Hekeshes within Kutchim, he's saying, well, that's all good if you say that, well, it depends what the learner is. In other words, you got teacher one, the one that's learnt is two. But now this one becomes teacher, and this becomes learnt. So some say, well, the problem is that the learner has to be part of Kutchim for it to be a problem. But here, what's being learnt out is not Kutchim, so then maybe it's not a problem. Okay? In other words, this two-stage rule, right? But if the matter is non-sacrificial, then the issue is not considered a case of sacrificial law, even the first Hekesh is made between the two sacrificial matters. Right? Accordingly, in the present case, even though the first Hekesh is made between blood and meat of Bechor, which are both sacrificial matters, since we wish to use a second Hekesh to derive the law for Meister Shein, which is non-sacrificial, the Hekesh is admissible. In other words, if you have the third thing is not from Hekesh, from sacrifice, then you could do it. But that's if the learner is non-Hekesh. And even if the teacher is Hekesh, it's not a problem. But there's another rabbi who says, we go after the teacher. Well, the teacher in both cases is Kutchim. You had meat to blood to meat. The teacher is Kutchim. But now, meat to Maaser Sheni, the teacher is still Kutchim. And some say, with the teacher alone is Kutchim, you can't make a second Hekesh either. So it's still what's going to be the question. So Michael, how are you going to answer it according to him? So guess what he says? He says the whole premise of the question is incorrect. What are we saying? We want to say, well, blood, spring of the blood is one thing, eating's a whole separate thing. Now I need to make a Hekesh to learn one from the other. Just like everybody agrees that Maaser Sheni is one world, Bechor is another world. You want to make a Hekesh, that's a Hekesh. Fine. We assume that the question that when you're sprinkling blood, that's one world of halacha. Eating the meat is another world of halacha. So I'm trying to make a Hekesh one world to the other. So we can't make one world Hekesh or another world Hekesh. We're saying the first teaching isn't really a Hekesh. Why? Because dam ubasar chada milsahi. Blood sprinkling and eating meat is not two separate things. It's one thing. It's not really even a Hekesh. He says the blood of the Bechor offering and its meat, which are linked in the original Hekesh, are two aspects of the same sacrifice. That's not called a Hekesh. Since the first Hekesh does not extend the law to a different context. If it's in the same context, this rule goes, if you want to compare A to B, which are different contexts, and now B to C, which are different contexts, you can't do this. But if A to B are the same context, then you haven't really done that much, and now you can only go one context over. Since the first Hekesh does not extend the law to a different context, but merely defines the law of the Bechor itself, a second Hekesh extending the law to another context is admissible. Okay, Orach Lener elaborates, since the meat of the offering may never be eaten until the blood is applied to the altar, the eating the meat is intrinsically bound up with the service of the blood. Thus, the original Hekesh merely clarifies the extent to which the Bechor service itself depends upon the existence of the altar, and extension of the law to Maaser is its first application, a novel thing, and that you could. And that was the Gemara's original question. Rabbi Shmuel said it should be able to compare Maaser Sheni to Bechor because it's bound up, the sprinkling, the eating of the meat is bound up with the sprinkling, and that for sure you can't do. And now we're only making one Hekesh, so let's do the Hekesh, to which the Brisa said, no, we can't, because there's other differences. And that's the end of the discussion of this Brisa. Certainly we got nothing out of it. Which now we got another seven. All we did was understand what the Gemara was, the Brisa was trying to do, that it could even try to do it, and even said we couldn't try to do it. And it was never even a proof to the whole opinion if the recital of the Bikurim was important. At all. That was the whole reason we got into it. But even so, the price is fine. Okay, another 5 minutes. We'll start the next completely brand new topic. Yeah?
Since Abraham
before the temple was built, he, whatever he was, he built,
yeah.
built stones.
Yeah.
He made a temple, sort
yeah.
of.
Well, just to mizbeach, not a temple.
Okay. And that's where he did sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once the temple was built, that was no longer
prohibited to private.
Right. Now the temple is destroyed. That still applies that you cannot do that anymore?
You can't. You theoretically. Well, that's a whole other discussion. Some say that once the temple was finally up, then it never was permitted.
Mm-hmm.
Once
yeah, but now it's
there was. There was. Let's say when we had the Mishkan.
Yes.
Then we couldn't do any private. When the Mishkan was destroyed, there was
right.
then you could do private. You could do private.
Right.
But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, then forever private wasn't allowed.
Oh.
Yes, once the Beis HaMikdash came up, that's it. You can never go private.
Even though it's destroyed now?
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter. Doesn't matter. Can't
okay.
do it anymore. Can't do it anymore. Yeah?
So if you don't have field, like you're a gear or you're just poor, can you still, how do you bring Bikurim, Maser, Shem?
You don't.
So you just don't get to do any of that?
What if you don't have any money? Can you do the mitzvah of tzedakah?
No.
You have no money.
Yeah.
There's a mitzvah of giving the first shearings of your sheep. What if you don't own sheep? Separating challah. What if you don't have any dough?
Okay.
You don't have to do it.
So there's no other way.
Okay. Now, the Mishnah. Now we're going to back to the Mishnah and a new topic within the Mishnah. Just to just start us off over here. It says, Katshe Kadoshim. We said if you eat Katshe Kadoshim, that's very holy sacrificial meat, like an ola, like a chatas, like an asham. That kachim, kachim, that means it has to be eaten in the azara, in the courtyard. So what if you eat it outside the curtains, meaning, or not really curtains, there used to be curtains in the Mishkan, now it's the azara wall. So even though it says curtains, it means azara wall. It says if you're going to eat kachim, kachim outside the azara, or, Mishnah went on, if you eat Maaser Sheni outside the wall of Yerushalayim, you get lashed. That's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that. Gemara has a simple question. By the time we're coming to this Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin, but Tanina Chada Zimna, it was already mentioned earlier in the first Mishnah of this chapter on page Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. It already said it, that issue, as we'll see in a minute. Oh, I don't want that. Why are you doing that? That's not fair. That's not fair. I pressed it. Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned this idea in the first chapter when it said, the first Mishnah, when it said, Maaser Sheni, the Hekdish Shelo Niftu. If you eat Maaser Sheni or Hekdish that was not redeemed, you get lashed. Now, what's going? We're worrying about Maaser Sheni over here, right? So, what does it mean? Maaser Sheni was not redeemed. What does it mean? Let's go over the law. Maaser Sheni, you declare it as a second tithe. What's the basic law? You got to take it all through Yerushalayim and eat it there. Okay, it's too much for me to carry. You can redeem it. You can redeem it on money. Take the money to Yerushalayim, and then you could eat all the grain over here in your house because it's been redeemed. It's not holy. But what if you didn't redeem it? And you eat it. The Mishnah said you get lashed.
Yeah.
Why are you getting lashed? Because you're eating Maaser Sheni outside while you're slime. Well,
wait a minute.
That was already said in Daf Yud Gimel. So why do we have to repeat it in Daf Yud Zion and say you eat Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim? Right? The Mishnah we here in Yud Zion says you're going to get lashed if you eat Maaser Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Fine. Why do you got to tell me that? If you already told me 4 pages earlier that if you eat Maaser Sheni that was not redeemed,
you get lashed.
Well, what would that case be? It's case where you're eating it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, isn't it? So then why are you telling me the same thing twice? Mishnah doesn't repeat one Mishnah to the next. The first Mishnah presumably refers to one who eats the unredeemed Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, since it's meant to be eaten inside the city. The Torah offers the option of redemption to one who cannot carry it. He transfers sanctity to money and takes the redemption money to Yerushalayim, where he uses it to purchase foods that he eats there in accordance with. But if it says he hasn't redeemed, that means he didn't ask for something. So it's the same case. Why are you going to say same case twice? So Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina explains, no, they're a little bit different. Both cases are different. Seifa, the second, meaning the last Mishnah, is talking about Meiser Sheni Tohor. It's talking about the Meiser Sheni is Tohor, the Gavra Tohor, the person is Tohor. Our Mishnah says, if you eat Meiser Sheni outside walls, you're going to get lashed. Why? It's a regular case. You're eating Meiser Sheni, the Meiser Sheni. There is a halacha. Meiser Sheni, that is Tohor, has to be eaten by a person who's in a Tohor state. Even if it's you're Yisrael, you have to not be Tomei when you eat it. Okay, Meiser Sheni, you try your best not to get it to be Tomei. You take the Yerushalayim, you eat it in Yerushalayim, and you can only eat it if you're Tohor. So the last case is speaking where everything was kosher v'yusher. The only problem is you ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. That's the second case. The first case is different. Oh, we're not finished with the first, second case. And what did you do? The thing you did wrong was the ka'achil chutzal chama. The problem is you ate it outside of the wall. Okay, so what's the Mishnah saying? Meiser Sheni, that's fit for consumption. And the person's fit to consume it. If he eats it outside of Yerushalayim, he gets lashed. That was what the second Mishnah taught. What did the first Mishnah teach? This we have to put in between the lines. Reisha, the first halacha is speaking, the Meiser Sheni Tomei, where the Meiser Sheni all became Tomei in your backyard. Vigavra Tomei, and the person himself is Tomei. Okay. But what did you not do? You didn't redeem it. Now what do you do if you're Meiser Sheni's tummy? You can't take it in Yerushalayim. You only have one option. You have to redeem it. You can't eat it. It's still Meiser Sheni.
Even if it's tummy?
You can't eat it.
To redeem it even if it's tummy?
Yet it still has the sanctity of Meiser Sheni, but the problem is it's tummy, so yeah. It can never be eaten in Yerushalayim.
Right.
But it's still Meiser Sheni. So maybe I would think, well, if everything's tummy, why'd I got to bother to redeem it?
Yeah.
And I'm even tummy. Remember, let's say the Meiser Sheni's tart, I'm tummy, I can't eat it because now I make the tummy. Right? But if I'm tahor, I mean, what am I doing eating Meiser Sheni that's tummy? You should be eating tummy food anyway. Yeah. But if everybody's tummy, the Meiser Sheni's tummy, I'm tummy, so what's so bad? But now, look, so wait a minute. So, but what happened over here? Now, the first case, we made an assumption. We thought when it said you eat Meiser Sheni, that's not redeemed, we assumed you were eating it outside your Shalai. That's what we assumed. He said, no, now that we're saying that the Meiser Sheni is tummy, and the person's tummy, you know why he's getting lashed? He ate it in Yerushalayim. That's the first case. So when the first case says you eat Meiser Sheni, it's not redeemed. It's speaking about Meiser Sheni that's Tomei and your Tomei. The Mishnah teaches that the consumption of unredeemed Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim, you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm eating Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim. What do you want from me?
But
the problem, and I don't have to redeem it because I'm in Yerushalayim. No. It's Tomei, right? It's punishable by Malkus if either the Meiser Sheni or the person eating it is tummy. And that's the Chiddush. In other words, our Mishnah is speaking about a regular case. You ate Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. That you were tar, it was tar, and you didn't take it in Yerushalayim. You didn't redeem it. You get lashed. Here we're talking where you're taking the Meiser Sheni, you're eating Yerushalayim, but either you or the Meiser Sheni is tummy. What should you have done? Redeem it. Or if you're tummy, go to the mikvah. But if you're tummy and it's tummy, you're supposed to redeem it. Yeah. Even in Yerushalayim, you would redeem it because you can't eat it anyway.
Right.
But if you didn't redeem it and you're eating tummy, Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim, that's where you get lashed, and that's the chiddush of the first case. The Gemara is then going to continue and ask, what's the source for that? But now we at least have two separate cases. Eating good Meiser Sheni and you're good, but outside of the walls without redeeming. Or eating bad Meiser Sheni in your tummy without redeeming, even though you ate in Yerushalayim, you're going to get lashed. Gemara is now going to ask, what's the source for that second halacha?